takes his diligence or work. Actually, 6% of the book of Proverbs covers this topic. So it'll be a busy morning. By way of introduction, Mr. Scott, could you read verses 6 through 11 of chapter 6 for us, please?
Go to the end, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provided her meat in the sun and gathered her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that prevaileth, and thy want as an armed man.
So God here is using his own creation, the ant, something that we've all seen before, to say, I want you to learn a lesson from the ant. Well, multiple lessons actually in there, aren't there? We already looked at the ant relative to setting aside and saving for the future, but the main point of this passage has to do with being a sluggard, right? Being slothful. And this is, like I say, a prevalent topic all throughout the book of Proverbs, that God expects us to work rather than be lazy. He expects us to be diligent, to be faithful. And so we'll be looking at that together. But first, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of assembling. Thank you for the privilege of opening your word and studying it together. We ask that you would guide us in your truth and use it in our hearts and lives. Bless each teacher with your wisdom and make it a great morning. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we see in this passage is that a sluggard or a slothful person, they love sleep. We see that. Now, we all love our sleep, but this is going beyond the needful sleep. This is a person who loves to just sleep too much. And actually, this is in Proverbs quite a bit. So let's look at chapter 10, verse 5, Howard. And Beryl, you okay to read today? No? Okay. Mark, if you could read 20:13. And Roy 26:14. So what we see here is this pattern of the sluggard or the slothful person. They love their sleep too much. Howard.
He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the palace is a son that causeth shame.
And then 20:13, Mark.
Love not sleep, if thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be served for
it. Amen. And then 26:14, Roy. You like that one? You can see the door going back and forth on its hinges. He says, that's what a slothful man looks like. He just rolls over and stays in bed that much longer. Now, I'm not talking about teenagers. We know how teenagers are about sleep. This is talking about someone who is a sloth or a sluggard, someone who is lazy. And they would rather just stay in bed longer than get up and get on with life. And as we can see, God is rebuking that behavior. And the other thing that we'll see is that they always have an excuse according to God's own word. So let's look at that. Any other volunteers in this section? Philip 20, verse 4. Others? James 22, verse 13. Any others in this section where I move? Okay, Brad, thank you. 26, 13 through 16. Brad gets the big one. So Philip 20, verse 4, and what we're going to see here is that the slothful person or the sluggard always has an excuse. So chapter 20, verse 4, Philip.
The sluggard will not shower, reason of the cold, therefore shall he be in harvest
and have not. So he says it's too cold. All right, so that's one excuse. 22:13.
The slothful man says, there is a lion without, I shall be slain.
Or he says, well, I can't go outside my house, there might be a lion out there. And then 26:13 through 16, Brad. So, Proverbs has a lot to say about the sluggard. not positives either, are they? And not only this, not only do we see that they have excuses and they love to sleep too much, but then God also tells us that there are consequences to being a sluggard. And this is actually the longest section on being a sluggard in the book of Proverbs, is all the consequences of being a sluggard. So before we leave this section, other volunteers over here, Jackie 10:26, any others? All right, so I'm going to go back to Brother Scott 12:24 and verse 27 as well. So 12:24 and 27, and Howard 13:4, and Mark 15:19, and Roy 18:9, and Philip 19:15 and 24. That'll be enough for now. As you can see, there's a lot of scriptures on this. And what we're looking at here is the sluggard and the results or the consequences of being a sluggard according to God's own word. So 10:26, Jackie. So God says you can't trust them. If you try to send them to do something for you, it's like getting smoke in your eyes. We all know how unpleasant that is. Brother Scott, 12:24 and 27.
The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful man resteth not, that which he took in hunting, but the substance of the diligent man is precious.
So again, we see that the results of it. And then Howard 13:4.
The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent.
And then 15:19, Mark.
The way of the slothful man is that his head of thorns, but the way of the righteous is maintained.
The hedge of thorns. Again, unpleasant. 18:9.
He also has slothful in his heart, is rather than him that is a great waster.
So a sluggard is also a waster. And then 19:15 and 24, Philip. And then 21, 25, and 26. Jackie, could you read those for us? 21, 25 to 26. His hands refuse to labor. There's the problem, isn't it? He doesn't want to work. And it says, but he coveteth all day long. And then, Brad, while we're over on this side, could you read 24? I'll give you the short one again, 30 to 34. So 24, 30 to 34. So he said, I went by the field of the sluggard and I learned some things. That he's lazy. And he's not willing to work and do what needs to be done to keep his fields tidy. This is God's word, rebuking sluggardness, slothfulness, and showing us the issues with it, the results of it. So now let's look at the positive, amen? The diligence or the work or the faithful. But before we do that, any questions, comments about the sluggard or the slothful man from Proverbs? Nobody? Yeah, we'll get to that. Socialism and Proverbs do not go together. Let's just say that. But that's a whole different issue, isn't it? We're not here to talk politics. But, yes, it's not in the scriptures. If you're capable to work, God expects you to work. Amen? Matter of fact, that's in the New Testament. Let's look at it. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. This is a very important verse for anyone planning to buy a country and establishing a government system. I'm sure none of you are planning to buy a country anytime soon. But if you do, and you're going to establish a system, this is a good one. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Let's see. Mark, would you read that nice and loud for us?
For even then we were with you, this we commanded you, that any of you would work, that any would not work, neither should he be.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? That if any should not work, neither should he eat. Now, they didn't have socialism in Bible days, did they? If you couldn't work, you basically, you begged on the street and hoped that people would show enough kindness and throw enough coins your way that you survived. But that is God's answer to socialism. Anyway, so what we see is that God's rebuking sluggardness, rebuking slothfulness, but he actually commends diligence and work. God designed us to work. He made us that way, didn't he? And so let's look at this together, this lifting up, if you will, of diligence. And this is the biggest section this morning, is all of the commendations for those willing to work and be diligent. So let's start in chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Brother Scott, if you could read those. And Howard 12, 11. And Mark 12, 24 and 27, and then we'll pick it up from there. So pay attention closely to chapter 10, verses 4 and 5.
He becometh poor that dealeth with a slight gain, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is the son that causeth shame.
So notice the contrast that God is giving us here in his word between the sluggard and the diligent. God expects us to be diligent and to work. Okay, Brother Howard, 12:11.
He that killeth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding.
So God here connecting work or tilling with being satisfied with something to eat. Pretty basic. And then chapter 12, 24 and 27, Brother Mark.
The hand of the diligent shall be a rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Even just from the heart a man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces him. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in, hunting, but the substance of a diligent man.
The substance of a diligent man is precious. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Let's move on. 13:4, Brother Roy, and also verse 11, and then Philip 13:19, and Brad 14:23. So go ahead, Roy, 13:4 and 11. There it is. He that gathereth by labor. Does God expect us to labor? Yes. All right, 13:19.
The desire accomplished the streets of the soul, but it is an abomination to the heart of evil.
Amen. And then
14:23.
In all labor there is profit. See, the part that we have to remember is it's not just about working here for someone or for ourselves, but that our Almighty God pays attention. Amen? That he's sovereign. And he built us to work, and he designed us to work, and he tells us to work. And when we do, he says he blesses it. This is important for us as God's children. All right, many more scriptures. 16:26, Jackie. 22:29. Any more volunteers over here? Doug, if you could read that one. So 16:26, Jackie.
He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth prayeth for the
government. Amen. And then 22:29. So notice again, praising diligence. We'll start back over here, Brother Scott, 25:13.
formal snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters.
So here he's praising a faithful messenger. We'll talk more about faithfulness in a moment. But go to chapter 27, and we'll see God is giving us this common theme that he blesses it when we work. He blesses us when we work, when we're diligent. 27, look down at verse 23. He says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself. The herbs of the mountains are gathered, the lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens." So again, this is God's word saying, work. Now this of course, is in Proverbs' time, 3,000 years ago. You didn't have online work. Everybody was pretty much a farmer or a laborer of some sort. And he says, look well, as he says in verse 24, verse 23, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Work. All right, a couple more, and then we'll be done with the diligence part. 28:19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. And I think we already read chapter 30:24-28. No, we didn't. Brad, could you read that since you're doing all the long ones? So chapter 30:24-28. God, again, using his creation, he said, I made these creatures, and you can learn from them. You can learn from the ant. You can learn from the coney. You can learn from the locust. You can learn from the spider. Just see how they behave. I put these behaviors into them, right? We call that instinct. But God says, you can learn by watching them. We none of us have ever seen a lazy ant, have we? That's all they do is just they're working all the time. But that's what God designed them to do. And he says you can learn from them. So what we've seen is that God rebukes slothfulness or sluggardness. He commends diligence and work. And then lastly, we'll see he commends faithfulness as well, which is tied closely to diligence. But any thoughts or questions before we move on to that? Jackie. Well, he said it would be harder, right? Let's look at it in Genesis 3. Because he talked about the sweat of thy brow, right, after the fall. And then he talked about the pain in childbearing and so forth. There are a lot of aspects to the curse. He talked about the thorns. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. So part of the curse was he made it harder to garden. Because now we're dealing with weeds, and now we're dealing with brambles. All these things, you know, that the Brits brought over for us to enjoy. The Barberry, the gorse. We're dealing with all of those things. We didn't have those things until after the fall. So the first part of the fall there is he cursed the ground itself and said it's going to be harder now to farm it and get food out of it. You still can, but it's just more work. Because he says in verse 18, thorns also and thistles. So the next time, you know, the brambles cut you, you can be reminded that's the curse. That's where they came from. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. So again, he says, you've got to work hard now. It's going to be hard work. I think he still worked in the garden, but I don't think it was as hard. No thorns. The dirt would have been perfect, you know, and everything just worked the way it was supposed to. After the fall, God not only cursed man, but he cursed the ground. And we're still dealing with that 6,000 years later, aren't we? Does that answer your question? Okay. He designed us to work.
Yeah.
And he commanded us to work, and that's the point. And so
man's his laziness towards work has got nothing to do with the curse, it's simple.
Well, it does have to do with the curse because it's part of our fallen nature that we're lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is still connected.
Yeah.
The fallen man or the old man is lazy, right? That's one of our, just like we're naturally sinful, we're naturally lazy. That's just part of who we are in the past before we got saved. Unfortunately, we carry that guy with us after we get saved, and that doesn't go away completely, does it? The tendency to be lazy is always there in the background. But God's very clear in his word about slothfulness, sluggardness, laziness, but also about diligence and work. Any other thoughts or questions before we look at faithfulness, which is connected? Christine.
I was just thinking about kindergarten life, politics, and inviting government what we want for society, and socialism, but really just taxing on everything. If we're not teaching our children that work is just part of life, that's what God's created us to do, then of course it's going to be easy for them when they're adults to expect that they're going to get everything.
Yes. Anything else? All right, so chapter 20, verse 6 will be the first verse we'll look at, and we're going to look at faithfulness, where God's commending it. So, Brother Scott, could you read that for us, chapter 20, verse 6?
Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?
What a question. A faithful man. Who can find? This is God speaking through his word. A faithful man, who can find? And then we'll go to chapter 25. Howard, if you would read verses 13 and 19 of chapter 25. We're talking about faithfulness, which is connected to diligence.
As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot held for a joint.
So here he says that a faithful messenger is very refreshing, but an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint if you rely on him. Two very unpleasant things, a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. And then chapter 28, verse 20. Roy, could you read that for us? So a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Does the New Testament have anything to say about faithfulness? When it's talking about the judgment, Matthew 25, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul, when writing to Timothy, he says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He said the number one criteria, Timothy, for passing on the ministry, if you will, is look for faithfulness. Faithful men. we shall be able to teach others also. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So yes, it permeates the New Testament as well. So God wants us to be faithful and diligent and work. And that is our Proverbs topic of the day. I didn't review again what we've talked about. Number one was the fear of the Lord. Number two was wisdom. Three was separation. Four was walk uprightly. Five was foolishness. Six was trust in the Lord. Seven was our finances. Eight was keep thy heart. Nine was the tongue. 10 was the family. And then last week we looked at God's power and His sovereignty and that His name is a strong tower. Oh, thank you, Lord, for reminding me of that. Phila, you asked about Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. Yes. And we looked at Exodus 15:26, Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is a form of the word Rapha. They're the same word. So, yes, we did cover that. Some people say it's Jehovah Rapha, but the proper one is Rapha. But it's the same word. It means the Lord that healeth thee. So we looked at that last week, and then, of course, today, sluggardness and slothfulness versus diligence, work, and faithfulness. Thoughts or questions?